Today on the Relationship Renovation Podcast, part three of the intimacy gap, curiosity, emotional safety, how to close that gap and get closer together.
Hello, all, and welcome to the Relationship Renovation Podcast. I am Tara Kerwin.
And my name is EJ Kerwin, and we are continuing in our journey of the intimacy gap series. And that was, this is part three. But before I tell you about part three, I want to remind you part two is a great episode. Yeah. It was the silent saboteurs, and it was things like stress and anxiety and the things that really block intimacy. But in general, what we're talking about here is that it almost always happens.
Yes.
That this gap, that my needs in intimacy and Tara's needs and in any couple, there's going to be differences. And that's going to be around a variety of things, not just physical intimacy, not just sex, but in emotional intimacy, intellectual intimacy, like kind of all the things.
Well, yeah. And so, today's lesson is all about how to use curiosity to reconnect, because we do know that in attachment science research, emotional safety, you've heard us talk about it a lot, it's the number one predictor of long-term relationship satisfaction over compatibility, over frequency of sex, emotional safety, number one predictor. And that's a hard one to grasp, right? Because emotional safety means many things to many different people. But what we do know is that intimacy, physical intimacy, sexual intimacy, emotional intimacy, it cannot be forced. And the more emotional safety we have, we can open the doors to those deeper levels of intimacy so we can understand it better, connect better, be more curious around each other. And like a personal story for us, just to kind of like, you guys know, we've struggled with this. If you've listened to any of our podcasts, you've heard me cry. You've heard EJ get frustrated. You've heard us like, gosh, it's the hardest thing we've ever talked about, but we have opened those doors to talking about it. And so I recently started hormone replacement therapy because I'm going through the good old perimenopause, menopause, whatever you want to call it. And I was like really excited at first because like it changed pretty rapidly within six weeks.
Within 6 weeks.
That's hilarious.
We had a couple of 6 weeks.
So within like the first few weeks of my hormone replacement therapy, like my sex drive came back up and all of things were happening. So I was so excited. I'm sure you were excited, you know, and now it's been a few months and like things have definitely like kind of, you know, it's like up and down and all around. And but like you and I can talk about it because I can be like, God, I'm so frustrated. Like I felt like the testosterone was working and now it feels like it's kind of fading away. But we get to talk about it more. And that means we're still connecting, because if we were just hoping that HRT was the number one answer to our sexual intimacy, like everybody would be doing it, but it's not. It's about taking all the steps and being curious and still talking about it, whether it's working or not working.
No, I mean, so the topic being curiosity and that story that Tara's talked about how we're dealing with, you know, an ongoing thing that most couples deal with is that discrepancy in desire, in frequency of sex. Curiosity and emotional safety, they allow us to address it together, right? Because one of the things that pulls couples apart is the completely separate experience, right? Yeah. Like in our case, me being the person who's like, hey, you know, like what's going on? Like it seems like that HRT was really working and now it seems like not so much, right? And her being maybe in her report that I've heard before of like feeling bad about it and confused herself. And curiosity is the way in which we bridge the gap to talking about it, to like having, you know, that emotional safety to both like talk about our experiences, and because we're in it together, but the gap that we're talking about is what pulls us apart. And so, so what we want to talk about today is how you use that open-hearted curiosity as a way to connect with your partner and discuss things that are difficult.
And it's, again, to me, like rebuilding emotional safety or building it for the first time is a bridge from like understanding to action, right? So we're curious, we understand better now. Now we can take action because we have more knowledge and understanding.
Yes.
That's really important.
And the emotional safety is the ability that both of us can share our experiences completely without fear, without the fact that like, hey, if I bring this up, Tara's going to get pissed off at me. She's going to think that all I care about is one thing, you know, that Tara can talk about her side of it without fear that I'm going to get upset myself. And that's what emotional safety is. It's like, it is literally safe to share my experience with my partner.
Vulnerability without fear.
Yes.
It's a tough one.
And so here's sort of some of the things that we're going to get to, how to maybe broach the conversation.
Yeah.
But also, it's important to know, like, what are sort of some of the ways in which you can cultivate emotional safety with your partner? Like, what are some of the signals that I can give Tara that it's safe for her to talk about things?
For me, it's like soft eyes. Like when we get triggered, like the first thing I notice about EJ, like if he's in a defensive place or if he's stressed out, like his eyes become like hardened. I can't even use words to explain it. It's a feeling I get. But when EJ comes to me and his eyes are soft, like I feel really safe. And so soft eyes to me, I know that like if anyone else out there relates, like, you know, have my back here. Because soft eyes to me is like huge. Tone of voice, right? We can get a lot of emotion from just tone of voice. Like if I'm coming to you and be like, EJ, I really want to talk about something that might be difficult versus I really think we should talk about this. Like just the tone of voice is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the energy that we bring into it, because what we're talking about today is we've really defined what the intimacy gap is, some of the reasons it might be happening. And today's episode is all about like, how do we sort of like cast the line across that gap and begin to move closer together? And what that takes is it takes a little bit of bravery, you know, because I know, like, you know, in the example that Tara was talking about, that she has her own feelings and her own struggles around the fact that there was this time where it seemed like just the medication was just creating this change and it's a letdown. And so I don't want to hurt her. I don't want her to think like that I'm impatient. So the energy I bring to like casting my line across the bridge to be like, or to create a bridge, it's about like a calm energy that I come into it with, you know, a gentle tone, with soft eyes. Mm. I think also another important thing is sort of like, do you want to talk about this? Is this something, you know, hey.
Is this an okay time?
Is this something that you're noticing as well? You know, the way in which we approach it is so important.
Well, and it's, you know, because one of the things I wanted to talk about next was that self-regulation and co-regulation, that you have to be in an individual place where you do feel regulated so that when you are talking about something, like a lot of couples experience intense, uncomfortable emotions around physical intimacy. You have to be in this place where you know that you're regulated yourself and you've got the tools when you start to get dysregulated. Yeah. And then when you're coming together, you co-regulate. That's what builds safety, you guys. Both of you co-regulated together, but it also takes that self-regulation. And again, just another, we've had a rough week. I've been super sick. If you've listened to our last couple episodes, you guys know we've like, you know, just had
we've
had a lot of stresses, which also inhibits sexual desire for me.
AKA intimacy gap
episode number two. The other morning, I wasn't sleeping well. Our children were just being crazy in the morning. And I said something to EJ, like, don't be an asshole.
That's a watered down version of what was said, but yes.
And I was like, oh, it could go two ways right now because I said that. Said it could go two ways. I could either keep doing this and reinforce this and then our whole morning blows up and then my day blows up, or I could go into the bathroom, be like, this is not helpful, Tara. And it's exactly what I did. It took me 2 minutes. I went into the bathroom. I was like, this is not going to be helpful, Tara. You're really stressed. You're really tired. You've got to watch your breath. My heart rate was already increased. And then I went back out. We emerged. Yeah. And I'm sure, I don't know if you felt the difference.
But I completely felt the difference.
I did it because otherwise, if I didn't do that, it would not only impact me all day, it would impact you, us, and our kids. And then they would have had to go to school. Like, oh my gosh, mom and dad are in a fight. Yeah. Who knows?
I mean, so in the context of bridging the gap, of like closing this gap and self-regulation, for me, it's a lot about knowing, okay, if I'm going to bring this up, if we're going to talk about the fact that, you know, we have this gap in desire again, like, mm-hmm. what are going to be my triggers, right? Like, my trigger in that conversation oftentimes is that it goes into, like, things that we've talked about over and over, and that it specifically, it's like, well, we don't go on date nights. And it feels like we're almost, like, changing the subject to me a little bit. And I know that I'm going to withdraw if I hear that again. And, like, we brought this up about a week or so again. We're dealing with, like, this, like we said. And that's exactly where it went right away. It was like, well, we're not having date nights and we're not doing this. And I felt myself, like, getting my brand of dysregulation, which my brand of dysregulation isn't getting pissed. My brand of dysregulation is withdrawing and just being like, mm-hmm. all right, well, we've had this talk before, so let's all just, what was the sense in doing it? And so what I had to do was I took a deep breath. I was like, okay, this is Tara, is this important to her to say? It's not inaccurate. Mm. You know, it doesn't feel productive to me, but you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to stay present. And so knowing when you're going into these difficult talks, what might push you into dysregulation? You know, like Tara knowing that, like, hey, if I start to get that colder look in my eye, that might dysregulate her. If she tells herself that ahead of time, she might be able to, instead of dysregulate, say, like, EJ, like, I'm seeing that sort of look you get when you're getting frustrated or you're getting angry with me. And if she takes care of herself, but also says it in a way that might be hearable to me, I might be able then to soften. Whereas if she's like, oh, there you are again, you know, there's that coldness. I hate that about you. Yeah. Like, then we're off to the races. So both of us being aware of ways in which we get dysregulated is important.
Our Relationship Renovation at Home Manual for Couples is now available on Amazon for $24.99. Check it out. It's going to be so helpful. It's going to be giving you all of the skills and tools we talk about on our podcast. So please go check it out. Your relationship is so worth this. Let me just share this. So we're having that conversation. And my EJ's like, oh, our physical intimacy has definitely, like, declined. And I'm like, yeah, and we haven't had a date night in, like, months, right? And then I start to go to, like, we'll never, ever have date nights. Like, I can't believe, like, right? I started to go into my story, but then you stayed present for me. And then it allowed me to go into all of this grief, like, before we had children, right? Before our life got so busy and we had two businesses and everything. Like, I loved getting dressed up and going on date night. It made me feel, like, special and unique. That's something that has always been, like, a part of me since I was, like, even a teenager. I would make, like, my high school boyfriend take me out every Thursday to the Olive Garden. Like, it's something that made
those breadsticks.
For sure, $6. But it made me feel like I was special and unique. And I think because our life has been so busy, like, to me, it's not about, oh, you taking me on date night means we have sex. It's cultivating my unique specialty as an intimate partner, right? And so when I don't have that, then I just feel like I'm this, right, robot, doing all the things. And then it doesn't build, like, sexy feelings in me because I don't feel like I don't have experiences that cultivate my sexy self. Yeah. But again, you staying present for me, it ended where I started crying and, like, really understanding my own grief around what I've lost. And then that, right, leads to understanding where, like, we're like, even today, like, right, I have girls night tonight, but we're going to try to go out for an hour before that so we can have, like, a little bitty date night. So it's that understanding of each other and then taking action towards it.
Well, and it's the in the moment, not only just going into these conversations with an open-hearted curiosity, but trying to maintain it throughout the conversation. Because for me, whatever conversation we're having that's a little bit more difficult, the minute it starts to feel repetitive, I have to be careful because I lose my curiosity then. Because I'm like, I've freaking heard this like 50 times, you know? It's like, we're not going to get anywhere. But in that moment, I was able to be like, okay, you know what? This is important. And she wouldn't be saying it for the, you know, however many time unless it was important. And I think because I stayed there, then you were able to keep it soft. And instead of like, we don't have date night, you don't make me a priority. It was like, you stayed in I statements, you stayed in like sadness that this is some, and so it was just different. And so that's, you know, that's a big thing. And I think you wrote down in our notes, curiosity versus control, right?
Yeah.
That curiosity keeps our heart open, where fear and control is when we shut down.
And so instead of, just an example, right? Instead of EJ being like, oh yeah, we haven't had sex in like 2 weeks, right? Which is like where you normally go. Like, it's like a time thing.
No.
Like, I feel like that's what's happening. Because I'll be like, oh my gosh, it's been 2 weeks. He's going to say something.
So this is really important, right? And I think it's good that you kind of hear a little bit of us like being like, you know, that's not exactly how it goes down. Like I don't think I've ever said, hey, it's been 2 weeks or it's been a month or whatever.
But in my mind, yeah.
Yes. So I really go into those conversations because you've told me, I don't want you to ignore it. I want you to talk about it if it's on your mind, right? So I know you've given me that permission. That's important to you. My struggle is always like, how do I bridge the gap? Like, how do I enter into that conversation? Like, what's the way I frame it? Because I certainly know, hey, we haven't had sex in however long is not the way. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity for me to say, like, to you, Tara, like, how do I bring it up? Like, how do you think a lot of people who are on your side of the intimacy gap, like, what's a way to bring that conversation up that frames it in a positive way?
So, okay, this is good. So I guess number one, understanding that like if it has been a while that I'm already getting anxiety because I'm like, oh, like I know that you're the higher desire partner in our relationship. And so I always get anxiety no matter how much emotional safety we have in our relationship. Like after we've had sex, my anxiety goes down because I'm like, oh, like we did it. Like it's all good. We're fine. Okay. And then it'll be 2 weeks and I'll be like, like I, no matter how much emotional safety, EJ, I get anxiety.
I get that.
Because not only is it like, I feel confused about my own body. I also am like, oh my gosh, like this just keeps happening. Right. And so I start to feel a little helpless or powerless in this. So I think if you were like, hey honey, like, I think it would be really important to have like a talk about our feeling connected. Like, I know it's been a really like difficult 2 weeks or whatever you want to say, but like just recognizing that I for sure get anxiety and that you know that that's happening. And so that when we talk, my anxiety comes down. That makes me feel really seen and it makes me feel like you understand why it's happening. That's not like I'm trying to punish you and not reward you with sex because we haven't had a date night.
Okay. So let me try that out. Let me tell you see if I heard it right. Because I think this is where I know couples get tripped up because you hear it and you start interpreting it. So, okay, so I'm going to do my best.
Okay.
So if I came to you and I said, hey, T, I think it seems like it'd be important for us to talk about like our connection and it's been really stressful. And I know we both had our like sort of like hopes around the HRT thing. And so like, do you think that would be okay, like, for us to talk about that?
Yeah, I would say to mention anxiety. Now that I've told you, because, like, in my body, I already get really nervous.
Okay. So, hey, T, I just think it's, like, important. We've talked about the fact we want to be really open about our intimate connection. And I know when there's time between that you start to get really anxious.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Killing it, EJ Carwin. Killing
right.
it.
All right.
Do you hear that?
Yeah. And so what's interesting is like we can do our best to like model what works for us.
Yeah.
But what got us there was me asking Tara, what's the way in which, and that's what you have to do with your partners,
yes.
is you have to get curious about how to get curious. You know, you have to ask your partner like, hey, how, and you can even start really broad. If there's something difficult that we need to talk about, how can I bring it up to you? Like, how, what is a way and when is a time that will lead to like the highest likelihood that it's going to go well?
Yes. And I wrote down too in our notes before we were doing this one that like repair matters more than perfection. So you will get it wrong so many times, but the more you try it out, like, right? Like what we just did, super organic, that was not scripted in any way. Is that like, that's what matters, is that you keep trying it differently. It's not about being perfect, but coming back and be like, actually, that felt good. That didn't feel good. Oh my gosh, I just called you an asshole. I'm so sorry. Let me try that again. Let me emerge out of my bathroom more regulated now. So anyway, we're really just some takeaway stuff from this episode today. You know, first of all, we have our relationship renovation at-home manual on Amazon for $24.99. Like, you actually have to type in relationship renovation at-home manual since it's like very new on Amazon, or we can send you the link. But you guys, it has all of the stuff, all of the skills built to build emotional safety that we don't learn ever. So please, like, and then we, if you ever have questions about it or you want to dig deeper, we have a whole Patreon.
Well, let me go deeper so you can get that manual, and then you can join our Patreon membership, Relationship Renovation. It's in our show notes, and there are lessons in there that you can watch, then go to the workbook, work through it together.
Yeah.
And then we're also doing monthly like get togethers where yes. you can sit in a room with us and ask questions and we'll talk about it. And so this is, it's an amazing resource. Cause as you can see, like we're people who like freaking do this every day, you know, with people.
Yeah.
And yet like we stumble through it all the time. And there's ways in which I approach Tara that like totally don't work. And there's times where she tells me what she wants, but she tells me in a way that like, I really don't like, you know? And so it's not easy stuff, but it's so, as you've heard in our last few episodes, it's so worth it when yeah. you begin to feel like, oh my gosh, we're actually dealing with this better than we ever have before.
So again, you guys, do your daily emotional check-ins. That's like a really good start, right? Start getting on the same page, making 5 to 10 minutes a day to check in with each other, get an idea of each other's emotional landscapes. Ask yourself the question, when have I felt safe and connected with you, or what makes us feel safe and connected, or how can we start to feel more emotionally safe and connected? Remember this, safety, emotional safety builds desire. It's not the other way around. Yeah. So.
And next week, we're going on to Intimacy Gap Part 4, which is rewriting your intimate Yay. Story. And it's all about like, how do we create the intimacy of this phase of our relationship? And I think that is so important.
Yeah.
Because so many couples say like, we want to get back to where we were. And we're like, there's no going back. That's yeah. not the way that this works. It is about where are we going now in our intimate relationship. Our intimate relationship is just never going to be what it was before we had our twins. And when we had the boys half of the time and we just got together and yeah. Yeah, I don't even want to.
Yeah. So creating a new intimacy story through desire, play, connection. We're super excited. Yeah. We really want to hear from you. Reach out. Podcast at relationshiprenovation.com. Go get that at-home manual from Amazon. Join our Patreon. Reach out to us on our Instagram or Facebook. We always respond. And if we don't, it's because it got lost somewhere.
If we don't, we beat ourselves up and we get into an argument about it at 11 p.m.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Me and you just singing on the train. Me and you listening to the rain. Me and you, we are the same. Me